Okay, so when, what are your earliest memories of the shops in Hambledon?
Well, when I was a child,
Yeah.
I suppose.
So that would be, when were you born?
1928.
1928, so that'd be like the early 30s. Yeah.
Going from West Street in to the village,
Yeah.
there was the lots.
Yeah.
The hardware, and it was a hardware then. You could buy well anything, even oil lamps and things. And then, of course, there was the blacksmiths, and then going down, of course, Frieda Lund didn't have a shop then.
Yeah.
There was the stores, Ben Marsh's
Yeah.
stores.
So was there a shop at what is now Beach Cottage where Frida had a sweet shop when I was little?
That was just a cottage.
That was just a cottage, okay. Okay. So then you had the stores.
On the right
Yeah.
hand side. And next to that was a fish shop.
Oh, where was the fish shop?
Ben Marsh had a fish shop as well.
Okay. In the same building.
No, where the house is, where the hairdresser's was.
Oh, I guess, yeah. That's now called Bakery Cottage or something, isn't it?
What is it now?
Is it Bakery Cottage? I know what you
Yes,
mean, yeah. So that was a fish shop.
And then over on the other side of the road, where the Green Man is, that was a public house. You go. Then you go up in further up, of course, there was the Vine. Oh, Hartridge's, of
The
course,
lemonade factory, yeah.
lemonade. And oh, they used to have a bottle and jug, if you know what that was.
No, what was the
A
bottle and
bottle
jug?
and jug, you would take a bottle, you'd take a bottle or a jug, and you'd go in and you would have a beer for refill or wine.
In the Hartridges. Oh, so
Yes.
they sold beer then too.
And yes, and Irene Hartridge used to come through
Yeah.
and fill up whatever, or you could get a bottle of whatever. And then, of course, there was the Green Man. And then you go further up to the Vine, and on the right-hand side, where Penny, opposite the Vine, where Penny Blake used to live,
Yeah, Vernon.
Vernon House,
Yeah.
that was the telephone exchange, which was manned by Frieda and her husband, with somebody else. It was a quite a biggish exchange, and going on then, West Street House. That was a chandler's or whatever. Oh, well, first of all, the New Inn,
Yeah.
then West Street House, and Later on, of course, the Chandlers was I think it was a little bit before my time, or just after I was born, that sort of disappeared. But in that very big room facing out, the children used to come down from the school for lunch.
Oh, okay.
They used to walk all the way down there for lunch. And then on the Knight's Corner, that was a dairy.
Okay.
And
that was after it was a saddlery. Wasn't it a saddlery before that?
When I remember it was a dairy.
It was a dairy, okay.
Clays, they used to have a farm up Rushmere. And they had a dairy there. And Mrs. Hooker used to work in there from Bower Mead.
Okay.
And on the opposite side of the road was
the bank.
A grocer's.
Was that Briggs?
No.
Oh,
no, Briggs was over the road.
Oh, you're talking about where Miller's is?
Oh, God, I've forgotten their name. They were great friends with... We always dealt there at the farm. Oh, their name has suddenly gone. And then there was Briggs opposite. Mm. The post office, of course. Mm. And
was there a bank there when you were little?
The bank was there. Yes. Briggs, post office. Then next door but one to the post office was
the bank. Yeah.
Then over the road was the George.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the garage.
Mm-hmm.
Sold cars. And they had, of course,
petrol
on the, yes. Doc can tell you all about this. Obviously, he knows all the history about that. She's a great one for that. And then... next door but one to that, where Mum and Dad used to live, next door to them, further up East Street.
Yeah.
That was a bicycle shop.
Is that where London House used to be? Mrs. Merton's?
No. Right next door to where Mum and Dad lived.
Okay, so the next house along.
Well, that's why it's got that big window.
So that was a bike shop?
Bike.
Okay.
And then came London House, which sold linens, and then they had a little place next to the linen. You'd go in through another little door and you could buy toys and things. And they also kept boots and shoes for the children that had to walk from Glidden and Jidden to school. And they were free, those shoes, those boots and shoes.
So they just came and got them?
Because they had to walk so far to school.
Mm.
And then further along, I've got to get this right, there was Mrs. Samways, that's John Wallace's granny. She had a shop where you could buy, in a lovely on a hot day, but had little tables, and you could go in there and have a lemonade or something like that, and ice cream, I think. I don't know, I can't remember, but I know I can remember going in there and having lemonade and that. And then further along, there was Ruth Bull and her mother. Do you remember Ruth Bull?
No, I don't.
She was Ivy Briggs' cousin. Well, she and her mother, they moved up Green Lane eventually, but they had they used to sell greengrocery. And then, of course, there was the Bakers, Wilkins the Bakers, the best bakers ever that Hambledon had.
And that's Steve Wilkins.
Steve Wilkins, grandparents.
And was there a doctor's surgery before? Was there a doctor's surgery along there at that time?
No. When I was young, the doctor's was up where Charles Lutyens used to live at first, next door to Dot, going up.
Mornington House?
Mornington House was
that,
the doctor's.
That was the doctor's, okay.
Yes, and we all used to go there for the doctor. And then you went, going on from the from Beams on the, you there was Miss May's
on the same side
on the other side
yeah,
where you got all your sweets,
and that was there was her she a relative of Mr. Rumbold.
Well they were another generation altogether.
Okay.
They had a dear old Mr. the original Mr. Rumbold used to live opposite Anne Bailey. There were two cottages where her mother used to live.
Yeah,
that was two cottages.
Yeah, Jasmine Cottage it's called now, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it was two cottages. Yeah. Lovely they were.
Mm.
And
he lived in there.
Old Mr. Rumbold. Oh, further up. 1 minute, further back. No, this was after I was married. But nevertheless, there was a George what was his name? The postman.
Taylor.
Same. George Taylor had a brother.
Aubrey.
Aubrey. He was painter and decorator.
Okay.
And he lived in...
He used to live in Myrtle Bank when I was a child.
Where?
Myrtle Bank.
That's it.
Yeah. Or and in then, half of it.
In, yes, well, that that little bit adjoining was where Steve's granny used to live with the bakers.
Oh, okay.
Where Edward Dutton, because he had the whole house,
yeah.
Didn't he? But he always, they always used that bit more than the other.
Mm.
And then there was Miss May with all her, yes, dear little Miss May. Lovely.
So is that where, is that in Verney House, or Verney Cottage?
It's Verna,
that was the shop.
That was
yeah.
The shop. That's where... Yes.
And Miss May had her shop there.
And that was it.
Mm.
Yes.
And so there was...
Oh, and up the high street, we had two butchers, Cutbaths and Langtry.
Okay.
We always used Langtry.
Yeah. Was Cutbaths where... Rupert and Mary lived? Was that Cutbaths? Yeah. Can't remember their other name. Okay. And if you wanted to go somewhere, what did you do? Like if you wanted to go to a bigger place? Or did you send for stuff? I think you used to tell me about sending for things. If you wanted to get something you couldn't get in the village.
Oh! Well, the bus used to stop outside Manor House.
Yeah, Manor Farm. I remember getting the bus there, yeah.
Mm. Or you could take a taxi from... from Greenwoods.
Oh, what, from the garage?
Tom would drive you anywhere.
Okay.
His father used to run the... It was... His father used to run the shop and the garage and Tom used to have... Was, you know, even when he was a very young man.
Mm.
I mean, he didn't have to learn. You didn't take... In those days... You didn't take take lessons or anything like that. You just got in a car and
drove
the
it.
Family. You didn't have to have a license. Stella never had a license, and she drove at about 15.
Stella who?
Peters.
Stella Peters. Okay. Mm. Yeah.
Oh dear. No, they never. Oh, and then, of course, there was the farm up at... and then eventually, when Lady Taylor left Whitedale House...
When was that? When did she leave? You remember?
Well, I was quite young... She moved up to Harfield.
Mm.
And,
So it would be in, like, the 40s, would it? 1940s? 30s?
I suppose it might have been. It might have been before the war. I can't... there's something that I can't quite remember.
Okay.
And... Who was it moved in? Oh, yes, Joan.
Joan Hancock. Is it Joan Hancock? Hancock's?
Yes, Joan Hancock. And they had a nursery.
So they moved... That was in
Eventually.
That was in Whitedale?
In Whitedale House.
What, a children's nursery?
No.
A plant nursery that they used to sell from?
They used to. I mean, they had gardeners anyway.
Yeah.
And then they left and they moved up to Folly House.
Oh, okay. Did they build it? Because that was built in the 1920s, wasn't it?
No, they didn't build it. No, they moved up after it was long after it was built. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm, that's good.
There we are. It was up. Yeah.
So race.
It was up. Well, Race Course Corner, you know where that is.
Yeah.
Well, they've still got the. I think somewhere up there now, they've still got. The stands some people used to go to, and they used to have point to point races, you know, where you go across the fields and and that sort of thing. That was the race course up there.
And did you go to that?
Yes, everybody used to.
Well, everybody from the village would go
in the village, and well, of course. That was Soberton, really. That wasn't, you know. And that was, I think that was in, what was it, still in Hambledon? I can't remember. Because Grenfell Hall is Soberton, although Hanwood are more or less claims it. And that used to be where the Hambledon hounds were kept. We used to go up and visit them, and Mum used to walk me up there, or push me up. And the dogs used to come to the gate, and the hounds would come, and you could.
Was
just...
that behind the big house?
Yes. Mm. Where, yes, and they'd be in that yard place where...
That quadrangle.
Where Annie lived. Mm. And they'd be running out there. And they'd come to the... Mm. So the big, the tall gates. And we used to, of course, Mum wouldn't let me get too close. Because I used to love to watch them. Mm. And then in the woods opposite, my grandfather, when he died, the woods opposite used to be thick with primroses. And he died just before primroses.
Mm.
And,
is that your grandfather?
My mother's father.
The policeman?
Yes.
Yeah.
And when he died, Mum and I went up and picked, I was about eight, picked as many primroses as we could, because, he'd been born on Primrose Day.
Mm.
So his coffin was covered with bunches of primroses.
Mm. That's nice.
Mm. Was it? Well, I know George Fowles was in the Vine. And I had to go over, because we lived opposite, and every day, every time I put my uniform on.
What uniform?
We had a WPS uniform, green. We had a dress, a short sleeve dress or a long sleeve dress, a top coat, and a beret, green. And we had to look smart. And I used to go over to George, because he'd been a sergeant major, and he used to give me the once over. Pull this and pat that and get perfectly safe. Now that was when I was married in 49. It's been 49, 50, 50. We moved to live with Mum and Dad. Say for 2 or 3 years, so 53, we moved to Hambledon, must have been 54. Sixties, I think it was.
Okay.
It was when Kennedy was president of America, and he was the one that put the fear of God into the Russians, because they were sending armaments to Cuba.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And that was, well, I mean, they could look the date up of that. And we were expecting, practically overnight, actually, an atomic war. And it was scary. They opened up places where during the last war people had donated clothing and shoes for people that had been bombed out, and that had been stored and a lot of it not given away. And the shoes were had punch holes in where they were string through to keep them together in pairs. And we were taken to Portsmouth and shown where they were all kept. And we were given training by the Red Cross. Oh, St. John's Ambulance. St. John's Ambulance people came out every week and gave us, and they didn't half put us through it. We suffered every pain you could think of so that we knew how to cope with people in that pain. You had to now feel it too. Oh, the worst pain of all was finding the pressure points here. And if anybody has to press on that.
On your neck?
Down in here.
Yeah.
You have to go so deep. They're very deep in. And my God, the pressure you have to put. The pressure of your whole body practically, and the pain that you feel when you're having it done to you is terrific. We used to dread having that done, and we learned a lot.
And who else did it apart from
we
you?
We did. We learned. We even learned how to use meat dishes, the big ones. As bed things for people to
bedpans.
We had to use those for certain things. The bowel last time, and we had whatever else we could lay our hands on for the waterworks. We had to learn how to do that. We had to learn how to. Of course, there'd be no stretchers, and people would, of course, be injured or knocked out or something. And we had to carry them in the blankets, and you had to take a corner each. With somebody lying on it. And you know, as Erebus, it's amazing what you can do. We managed that.
And where did you do the training? Where did you do the training? Was that in Hambledon?
We went, up in the New Inn. Yes, we learned how to cope with people, how to lift people, never try to put your arm through them this way. If you can, and it's so easy, If it was one each side and you live, you put your arm in that way.
So you're facing the back, yeah.
They're up. You learn that because we were all doing it the wrong way. And bandaging, we were taught how to put on sling and how to do bandaging. And of course, the finding all the pressure points for excess bleeding.
And who did it with you? Who else did it with you, the training?
Oh, there was Bridget.
Bridget Goldsmith?
Yes. She was fair. She was a young wife then. She came when we were doing it. And she came, and she was a young wife. And there was Molly Linter. And her neighbour, which I've now forgotten her name, and there was a lot of men. They would have to go out in suits to go round to see what, you know, to sort people out. There was a lot of us.
All from the village?
All from the village, okay. Oh yes. Because they considered that we would be fairly protected if one fell on Portsmouth. We would be fairly protected, well, from the blast, not from the radiation, because that travels. I mean, we had no, you just had to more or less get under the table, really, you know. I mean, because we weren't ready for anything like that. Well, then we had training at Bishop's Waltham, where we were trained with the police and firemen. We had to go and we would have to, well, we'd have a tea, one of those van things with serve tea from, and food to help feed them all when they were digging people out. And they buried people in cellars. They threw people up on roofs. And
what, to practice rescuing?
They had rubble everywhere. Bishop's Well, they, I don't know how they did it, but they got all this place together that would have obviously collapsed under the bomb. And people had to be the firemen, and that had to any man that was trained, was able, had to go and dig them all out and rescue them from cellars, bring them down from the roofs and all that. And and we had to attend then. There'd be doctors from the hospital, and we had to go with the doctors, and when they, if anybody was in enormous pain, and they injected to ease the pain, we had to put the time on their forehead, of the injection on their forehead, so that they knew when to come along and give them another one, and that was taken off, and then, you know, the times were written on their foreheads. That was another thing we had. And then we were taken into the New Forest.
I'll just stop you there and I'll do another.
We were taken into... Oh, the Navy made a film.
So this is talking about the 1960s Cold War, that's or it. Atomic War.
Yeah, this is what we... Because it was expected.
Yeah, so this is the practice and the training. Oh, and we had
people up on the... Up on Post downhill, where they used to have the... During the war, the plane spotters used to be. Yeah, people working up there, because that was underground. And they set up a sort of... a place where messages could be sent out, and that sort of thing. And it was a... If a disaster happened, somebody from this place would send a message to one of us in the village, and we would pass that message on to the next person, and we'd get people out that way to run to a centre point. And that's when we planned things. And then, of course, one minute, we had to go to the New Forest, and for some reason, we had to map read and to find our way back home. And another time we were taken to the New Forest, where they'd set up a train crash, and we had the doctors and nurses from the Portsmouth hospitals there. There was an awful lot of them. We had firemen and any rescue service going, and they had to go and sort out this train crash, which had an awful lot of people, and
like pretend casualties.
The casualties, and we had to feed them all, and we were issued. We arrived about 8:30, I suppose. Oh, it doesn't matter who else now. We were told that we had to feed them all. Well, there was one of these, somebody built one of these cooker things that we had built, we knew how to build. And we were given some army, those enormous army cooking things. And we were told that we had to feed a few hundred people, actually. And they had to do cauliflower. When you saw the number of cauliflowers that had to be done, they were just whole cauliflowers, and they all had to be prepared. And it had to be served. It had to be done by 12:00.
What else did you have to cook?
You can imagine. It was meat. Well, we always seemed to have to do roasts. And usually rice pudding. And of course, we did manage it, just. And all the army equipment had to be returned in the condition to which it was given. And of course, you can imagine how we had to make, you know, it was tough going.
Yeah, really tough.
Well, we got through that, and then of course, in the village, we had to feed the villagers. We built our first oven in Vicarage Lane.
In a garden?
In the garden, where, I don't know the name of the people now, but...
he used to live there.
Who lives there now? Who is it? He died, the man.
Denise Lance's house?
The Lances. Well, they weren't living there then. It was...
The Goldsmith?
William Goldsmith, because they had it built. We had to build our first oven in there. It had to be brick. There would be loads of bricks around, obviously. We had to build this thing of brick, and it had, you built it up each side and across, but you had to leave room in for a fire. And the top had to have a grid across so that the flames could come up through, and it was a grid.
Yeah.
And then there was a back to it, and then at the back of that was an oven we had to build the bricks up, and then we had to leave a space for a dustbin, a corrugated dustbin, and the lid was the door. Oh, it had all been worked out.
So the dustbin was the oven.
And then
the lid was the door.
But it had to have a chimney. And the chimney you had, which came up from the smoke from the fire, had to go up. And, well, we stapled baby's milk tins together and made a chimney of that. One, and I don't know, you made sure the chimneys out of anything you could find. We made one there. We made one into the house next door to Hambledon House, going up East Street.
House next door to Hambledon House. That would have been not where Mrs. Lanyon lived.
Stapley's.
Where the Stapleys lived. Paddock House, I think it's called. The one that Mrs. Lanyon built. Before you get to the cottages.
Yes, it's the house between the house where Richard Millar lives. And we built one up at Whitedale House. All at different times. Oh, and we had, of course, for some reason, we had to they had to dig in for drainage. For some reason, God knows why. I was in charge of the one up at Whitedale, the building. And halfway through, I'm afraid my back gave out. It was all such a hard work. My back, one, that everybody heard my back crack. My back just went crack. And they got me home. Anyway, I managed to, I recovered eventually and went back to it all. But then, of course, we would cook. Something in the, well, whilst we'd cook, I suppose, well, potatoes and things in the oven, and we would cook chops and something on the top.
So did you have solid fuel underneath?
Yes, we had wood. Mm. There again, we had to collect everything.
Mm.
You had to improvise. Mm. Well, you'd have to, wouldn't you?
Mm.
But we made as light of it as we could, actually. Oh, but this, I can remember we were shown a film that the Navy had made. Oh, that frightened us all to death. Oh, and another time, of course, they built a small shed thing, corrugated, was it? It was a sort of a corrugated iron thing from what I can remember, I don't know now. And they filled it with straw and hay and things. And we each had, we had to go in pairs. And they set light to it all. And they shut us in.
For smoke, getting through, getting out of a smoke-filled situation.
Yeah, and flames, of course.
Gosh.
And we had to, and we were issued with a little hose thing in a bucket of water or whatever. One of those, what do you call them? Oh, those hoses. They used to have them during the war. They were only small. And we had to use that to put the fire out. And then another pair would go in. As we came out with our streaming eyes. Oh,
wow.
We did go through it. I mean, well, had to. You had to go through it. I mean, you didn't know. I mean, nobody knew what would happen and how it would be, how you would be affected.
So it was lucky it was avoided then.
Well, somehow Kennedy, I think he sent ships or something towards Cuba, because the Russians had ships going there with the equipment, and frightened them off, because they really didn't want, didn't want a war like that. And he